Father's Day. Just so you all know, we're missing one dad that would normally be here, and that's Hubie. And I got word this morning that he was a bit dehydrated from flu-type symptoms. He's okay, but he is at Mary Wash, I believe, at Mary Wash. They said a hospital in Fredericksburg, so we're assuming Mary Washington, and getting hydrated, but I guess he's doing okay. So we miss him, and of course Jerry, who's with him today as fathers. We also wanted to just mention, too, I know in the news, and probably way too much in the news, we want to make sure that we lift up our brothers and sisters in South Carolina who suffered such a tragedy. The church that had a shooting this past week, and a terrible thing. I also heard, though, that the church as a whole has issued forgiveness, you know, letting everybody know they've forgiven the young man. Well, that's a very Christ-like thing to do. It's not easy. And that doesn't stay. That judgment is still going to occur for his actions. But we can pray that even someone like that, that God can get a hold of his heart between now and whenever he has to leave this earth. So that's something for us to pray as believers. So wanted to just make sure you all knew of those couple things that to be praying about. But today I want to celebrate with you fatherhood. Now, the neat thing is that every one of us have reason to celebrate fatherhood, even if we didn't like our dad. Seriously. Because we still wouldn't be here without him. Right? So every one of us has that reason. And my daughters are going to come, and on behalf of the church, we'd like to just share a little something with dads. Now, I don't know about you, dads, but I know for me, I find that I have to have tools that I never knew I would need. And I'm talking about real tools. Because I end up having to, the older my kids get, the more complicated things I'm finding I have to fix because they get broken. And so, move together with her. Okay, thank you. All right, so what they're handing out is a little card that I think it has a little verse on it I think you'll enjoy, and a little tool. Now, this is a tool I didn't have, and I decided to carry it for a week just to see if I'd even use it, and I have used it a bunch of times. My son came to me, and he needed, "Dad, do you have anything that can, you know, fix my glasses?" And I was like, "Yeah, actually, I do." And this little tool has a little tiny straight screwdriver. It has a cross-edge screwdriver, and you'll notice the end has two different size hex things for little tiny nuts. And I know it has an excellent purpose because as we get older, we start wearing more heavy-duty eye things that we need, guys, right? And our wives do too. And they have some with screws, some with little nuts. Now we can fix them, all right? So we can do that. And the flashlight just helps us see it better, okay? So you're getting that little thing and a flashlight, because I thought that was really appropriate for fix-it dads. All right. Well, while they're handing that out, I'd like to ask a question. Now, please answer this. Well, I'm going to start a statement, and if you will answer it with one word, no more than four words. So before you say it, make sure that it's no more than four words, okay? The statement is, dads are. Love. What? Love. Dads are loved? Oh, loved. Okay. All right. Dads are loved. Protectors. Wise. Providers. Anything else? That's it? What? Special? Okay. Dads are. What else?
blessing from God.
A blessing from God. Okay, it's four words. All right, good. I'm checking. This is my mother-in-law here. I wanted to check with her to make sure you had it right. Okay. Caring, okay.
Strong.
Strong, okay.
Providing.
A godly example. Okay, all right, good. A godly example.
Forgiving.
Anything else? Dads are.
Happy Father's Day, Daddy.
I did not plan that. All right. Anything else? Teachers. Yeah. Okay. I find it interesting, though, guys. You know, they didn't say dads are emotional. Dads are weepy. They didn't do any of that. Boy. Yeah, that's not a dad, right? They're that tower of strength. They can't be weepy. But you know what I find with dads? I find that dads are all those things. But you know what? Dads worry. Don't you worry, dads? Don't you find yourselves worrying? Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how old your kids are. Dads worry. Not that anybody really knows it, because I really think that dads are professional worriers. Now, I saw an article by some news company, and they were doing a comparison of who worries more, moms or dads. And they said, hands down, moms are the biggest worry warts. Well, I believe that's possible because moms will show it more than dads. But dads worry. Come on, we know it. Sometimes we won't admit it to ourselves, but dads worry. We worry about our family's well-being. We worry about finances. We worry about providing for our family in all kinds of ways. We worry, are we going to be strong enough? We worry about the safety of our family members. We worry about things that we need to work on, like we worry about cars. I don't know about you, but I worry about what my wife drives. I don't worry so much about what I drive, but I worry about what my wife drives. I don't even worry so much about what my son drives. But I worry a lot about what my daughter drives, right? We worry about the plumbing. Now, that's self-serving as much as anything else. But we worry about home improvement things, you know. Not just that the lawn gets cut, but that the belt on the lawnmower broke. And we worry about how we're going to fix that or who's going to fix that, whatever it might be. We worry about these things. We worry about crisis management. Do you think about that? Guys, sometimes we worry about, you know, especially in this day and age, we worry about keeping our job, having a job, getting a better job. We worry about retirement. We worry about if our kids are in this age, worry about them and how they're going to pay for college or how we're going to help them. We worry about the condition of the world that our kids are growing up in, living in, that they're raising their children in. And we worry about these things, don't we? You see, we have lots of things to worry about. We really do. And this message today, though it is directed at dads, it's really for all of us. So I hope that as we go through some scriptures about this subject of worry, that it will definitely be something for each one of us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy God, I thank you for you. The fact that you are Father, and truly the things that we use to describe our earthly dads are only minuscule descriptions of our Heavenly Father. We know that you don't worry, because you know the beginning from the end. You know that you are bigger than any issue of our life. I pray that today, and as we go through some of these things and look at some of these things, that we will focus on God. Focus on you, God. God is our Father. In Jesus' name. Because of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now, a lot of times, if you've studied God's Word and you've read God's Word, and sometimes when you hear Philippians chapter 4, well, maybe I should just ask. This is a little Bible quiz. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when someone says, a subject matter that comes to your mind when someone says Philippians 4? Anybody? Philippians chapter 4.
What's that?
What is it? How about the word contentment? Philippians chapter 4 is where Paul talks about contentment. He says, whether I'm hungry, whether I'm have plenty, I am content. And often that's what we talk about. Well, we're going to look at verses 6 through 7. It's a little bit of a different thought, though it leads into Paul's discussion on contentment. Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 6, Paul says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's beautiful, isn't it? But these verses make it very, very clear. For each one of us, dads, I know we hide it when we worry, we hide it. But it's very clear, don't worry. It doesn't say don't worry about the big stuff, you know, the world and stuff like that. Okay, well, I can't worry about that. No, even the little stuff. It says don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. In fact, it doesn't just say don't worry about anything. It gives us the alternative to worry. The first alternative, or portion of the alternative, is prayer. Now, prayer. That's an easy thing, isn't it? Should be. We can go to the Lord in prayer about anything and everything, even the smallest concern. But you see, a lot of times we go to prayer with predetermined desires for the results, don't we? We already know what we expect the results to be. Now you think of it as children. We go to dad when we were kids, you know, we go to dad and we ask for something. We want to spend the night with a friend. So we go and ask dad. Our predetermined thought is, I'm going to ask him, so he'll say yes. You may spend the night with so-and-so. What if dad says no? And you're mad at dad, right? Do y'all remember those days? Come on, anybody? Remember those days? That's just an example. It could have been, you know, you wanted a 5-cent toy or something when you're a kid, and he said no, and now you're mad at dad. Okay? This idea of crushing worry in our lives, the first part of prayer is really a point of humbling ourselves to the will of God. So when I go to God in prayer, the first thought is, God, I can't handle this. Dads, that's sometimes foreign for us, isn't it? I can't handle it. Do you remember those days when your kids thought you were the strongest person alive? I'm telling you, those were great days, man. I'm like, Dad, you're so strong. You bet, buddy. Yeah. Well, they're stronger people. We just don't know them. Right? Prayer's a humbling to say, I can't do this, God. The idea of petitioning, then. That's the second part.
In prayer, we petition. What is this part? This part is after our humbling of ourselves to the will of God, to say, in prayer, God, I can't do this on my own. Then we address Him according to His will. So God, I have this problem, I have this issue, and I'm petitioning You. I am coming to You saying, however You want to deal with it, I just need You to deal with it. However You want to handle it, I need You to handle it. Folks, this is in anything. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, pray, petition. Thankfully, and that's the second or third part, thankfulness. You see, we're human. God knows we're human. And we tend, you know, I talk about putting praises on the little yellow card. Sometimes we'll have people give praises on our first Wednesdays, which are suspended through the summer, by the way. But the first Wednesdays when we meet with several other churches from the area, noon on Wednesdays, we'll ask for praises. I have yet to hear someone praise God for their car being totaled, or for something that they prayed for healing and it got worse and it's not going to get better. No one praises God for those things. I don't either. I'm not standing here, I've arrived. Remember, I'm with You on this. When we pray in thanksgiving, though, it's this humbling in prayer. It's God, not my will but Yours. It's the petitioning part. And thankfulness to whatever God chooses is His will for that situation, for that issue. And that alleviates worry. Man, that's a whole lot easier said than done, isn't it? Well, there is a result, though, if we can really bring ourselves to be this kind of a person. Dad, if we can bring ourselves to be this kind of a dad, where we go before the Lord, we pray, we humble ourselves to Him, I'm not strong enough. God, whatever Your will is in this situation, and then thank You. If we can do that, the result is peace. Peace, even through the greatest crisis, the greatest problem, the greatest tragedy of our lives. The result is peace. But dads, we still worry, don't we? Congregation, we still worry. I still worry. We worry about the world. We worry about our community, our neighborhood. We worry about our home. We worry about our wives. We worry about our children. We worry about our children's children. Sometimes we worry about everything, guys, except for ourselves. I want you to check this out. Corey, if you'll push the next one. I think you might enjoy this. This will be a nice little example. Let's see if we can get the sound. You need to start it over. This is short. It just hit the media buttons up there. You should be able to start it over. Just hit stop and then play. Oops. Still not getting sound. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Can help.
Okay. Now, here we go.
Play by yourself. Why about yourself?
Can I help?
No. Can help? I don't. You can help when we're out to eat, okay? You can help when we are out to eat.
Do you have the sausage?
Probably. You want me to help, Ross?
No. Thank you. No, thank you.
What do you want me to do?
Why about yourself? Why about yourself? I'll do this one too. Gonna do that. You try! Why about yourself? Go try! Go! Why about yourself?
Okay.
Why about yourself?
Okay. It's So dad's in the driver's seat. His daughter's got to get that buckle in there. And says, do you need some help? No, you worry about yourself. You drive. You drive. You worry about yourself. Wonder if she ever heard mom say something like that, right? You know what? It doesn't matter what age our kids are, dads. We're going to worry about them. We're going to worry about them. The things that we worry about, especially the older they get, are the things that we can't control. We can't control it. And that's the thing about it. We worry about the things we can't control. There's so many things in our life we can't control, guys. The only thing we can control, listen to this, we can control whether we choose to worry or not. That's what we can control. And the thing about it is that we can't control our situation. We can't control our worry. Now let's listen to what the Apostle Paul says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care on him, because he cares about you. Be serious, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him and be firm in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. Now God, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little. Here it is again. We are to humble ourselves. We fool ourselves into thinking that worry gives us control. We do. We think that if we're worrying, oh, we're not going to let anybody know we're worrying and our, not show the emotions of worry. That's why it comes out in stress. That's why it comes out in losing our hair. I must be quite the worrier. Some of you are worrying more than me, if that's the indication. But we worry. If we were worrying because we think it gives us control, guess what? Then we're actually taking a mindset of taking God's place in a situation, because there's so much outside of our control. And if we're worrying so we can have control, then we're really saying, God, I got this. I'm going to worry it to work or happen the way I want it to happen. I got control. When we still don't have control. So God tells us, humble yourself. Humble yourself under my strength. He says this through the Apostle Paul. Humble yourself under my strength. Because you know what? The things that are outside of our control are still in his control. Isn't that cool? So if we humble ourselves and we cast our care on him, like he says to, why? Because he cares more about us than we could even think to care about ourselves. He cares more about our children than we could think to care about our children, more about our wives, more about our situations than we could even dream to think about them. He cares. And he's got the strength to handle it. So we're to humble ourselves. And then he'll lift us up. He'll lift us up in his time. And he'll lift us up through and then from our trouble. Now listen, we're not to abandon concern. We're not to abandon concern. Instead, we are to be serious and alert. Hey, listen. In this world, dads, we are to be serious. We are to be alert to this prowling lion called Satan. And he's real. The Bible says we don't fight a battle of flesh and blood, but of the spiritual world. The powers that are in this dark world of sinfulness. And we are to be serious, we're to be alert. That's what we fight against. How do we fight against that? Humbling ourselves in prayer, petitioning God, with thankfulness. It's a reciprocal thing. For the older parent, hey, listen, you have less and less control as your kids get older, don't you? But I've had older parents, those whose kids are grown and maybe have kids of their own, tell me, to my chagrin, the concerns don't get less, they get more. I'm like, come on. I remember, and my wife and I talk about it, we said, no, we had three in diapers and one running around. And we thought that was just the hardest thing. Now we've got three pretty much all teenagers. And we're like, man, I wish we had diapers and one running around again. And I have folks that have children older than that, and they say, oh, I wish for those teen years. I'm like, seriously? Man, we worry about all these things. But we are to humble ourselves before God. We're to cast our care on Him, because He cares for us. He'll lift us up. He'll strengthen us. Because we belong to Him through Christ Jesus. Instead of worrying about whether what's happening to our child when they're late, just worry about the hammer time. God will take care of them, right? When they're late, well, all right. Don't sit there fretting before then. No, I'm just kidding, moms and dads, about that. I know we're all very sweet and nice when our kids come in an hour after they were supposed to or whatever. Right? No, it's tough stuff. Especially dads of daughters. Right, Denny? Mm-hmm. Especially if the boy was the one who was in control of the car when coming home, if they come late. That's why we have shovels and shotguns in the back of our car, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. All right. God's in control. But you know what? Even at those times that we understand, okay, these are the realities of life. God's in control. I'm going to let Him worry about the realities. We still find ourselves worrying about the what-ifs. Worrying about the what-ifs, the suppose this happened, the could-be's, right? And we find ourselves worrying about this stuff. You know, worrying about, oh man, what if this person gets in office? What's going to happen to our world then? What if the car, you know, blows up or whatever, and we can just worry ourselves sick about the what-ifs? I find it interesting. When I was teaching public school, one of the PE teachers, he was also the basketball coach, his son was a basketball star in middle school. And as he went into high school, I mean, he was varsity, I think, as a freshman and so forth. But sophomore year, he wasn't getting any taller. Junior year, he wasn't getting any taller. And dad was maybe 6'1", 6'2", not a real tall man, but his son was shorter than dad. And I'm telling you what, that man worried about his boy getting taller. He really did. He took him to doctors. I lived not too far from Duke, and so he took him up to Duke. He had him see all kinds of physical therapists, even some kind of therapeutical stretching machines. No kidding. I'm not kidding you. He did. All these kinds of things to get his son to be taller. He didn't get taller. He didn't. Jesus had something to say about it. Our brother Denny read it from Luke. I'm going to read it from Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Jesus said this. This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you, listen to this, can any of you add a single inch to his height by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't He do much more for you? You have little faith. So don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear, or what if that happens, what if this happens? Suppose this were to be, for the idolaters eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Dad, it doesn't mean that we aren't to be proactive about the what ifs. Hey, listen, I fully agree we should have and talk about, maybe even practice an evacuation system from our house if a fire were to come. We should be proactive on that what if. You know what? It's not wrong to, you know, especially in a winter, power might go out. It's not wrong to have a couple extra bottles of water around just in case the well pump doesn't work. Okay? These are what ifs. But we aren't to let it consume us in worry. When they consume us, we give in to fear. Satan thrives on fear. Remember we read he prowls around like a lion, seeking who he can devour? Folks, do you realize how many fears there are in this world? I mean, there's a phobia for everything. There's a phobia for bald men wearing bow ties. There is. Fear cripples people. Satan loves fear. Tyrants rule by fear. And this is what God says about fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Therefore, I remind you, the Apostle Paul says, to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. In the Old Testament, we read in Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Psalm 112, 5 through 9. Good will come to a man who lends generously and conducts his business fairly. He will never be shaken. The righteous man will be remembered forever. He will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord. His heart is assured. He will not fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He distributes freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His strength will be exalted in honor. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 41, last part of verse 9 and verse 10, God said, I said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. We have no need to fear, dads. Not even for our children. God loves them more than we do. I have to remind myself of that so often. When I'm praying for my kids, when I'm praying for them, their spiritual well-being, I just have to say, God, you care more about it than I do. I think there's even points where we can say, dads, especially when our kids are out of the house, God, you care more about them than I do, so go get them. We like to be the hero. So we like to take control when God says, humble yourself and pray. We like to be the hero, so we like to think through all the what ifs, even sometimes to the point of worry and prepare for those what ifs. But the thing is that if we're truly the hero, We'll remember what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? And in Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31, do you not know? Have you not heard? Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never grows faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the weary and strengthens the powerless. Youths may fail and grow weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Dad, that's how to be a hero.